the horse because my son gave me a great gift before I left home. And I told all the ladies. He was like, oh my gosh, Mom, I'm so sorry. And I said, it's what a mother loves to hear when her son says, if I had been eating right and doing what you told me, I wouldn't be sick. I was like, can you put that on video? I'm sure that's greatly unhealed of me to think I was right. How are you guys? You good? Okay. I feel like I want Michelle and I to come up here for just a second and release a couple words of knowledge over people, which we weren't going to do. But yeah, come. No, now. Yeah, now. Do you do words of knowledge? You do words of knowledge. Okay, so I wasn't actually going to minister in healing when we started, but then we were downstairs, and then she goes, did you get a word of knowledge? And I said, I didn't even ask. And she did, and then I go, Lord, what do you want to do? So we're just going to do this, because it's a faith builder, and I love to watch people get healed. So real quick, you just can stand here awkwardly with me. So Michelle and I have been best friends for, I don't know, a long time, 20 or something like that. I was healed, and I'm not going to give my testimony. But you can Google me and just Joanne Moody, Moody, and it'll come up a million times. You could watch the 9-minute version, 17, 48 minutes, whatever you want to do. you want every detail and every crazy story, watch 48 minutes. You can go to our website, agapefreedomfighters.org, and watch a 17-minute version there. I had given birth to my only child, and I sustained a 96-hour labor because my doctor was out of town. That seems insane. I certainly know now that it is insane, but I was my only child. I had nothing to go by. I ended up completely crippled from that birth. My son's head was too big to fit through the birth canal, and it fried the nerves in my pelvis called the pudendal nerve. And it goes straight down your pelvis. They did 7 surgeries on me before they figured out that that was my problem. And so over the course of 14 years, I had 13 surgeries, and I was on 7 different opiate medications. And I was a triathlete before this happened to me. I ran wellness centers in Hawaii, and I did everything, and I was an invalid, boom, like that. And one day, God healed me. Amen. You have a day when God heals you. Because it says in his word, and that's our foundation, and that's our heartbeat, and that's our life. It says, Jesus upon the cross took every frailty of humankind. Frailty. Every frailty. And I believe it is God's will to heal. So we get to travel all around the world and watch God heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. Amen? So this morning is no different. I'll get to the word in just a second. So why don't you give your words?
I have 3. I got a bonus one during worship. yes. The first word I had when I woke up this morning, I had in my left ear ringing in the ear that went high and low, high and low, high and low. So I think there might be an hearing problem in the left ear having to do with interpreting sounds correctly. So that's number one. Is that somebody here? Okay.
I'm not sure. Is it?
Okay. Bless you, brother. What's your name? Huey?
Huey.
Lord.
Have the kids put their hands on.
Put your hands on your dad.
Maureen, have the kids put their hands on him first.
Yeah.
The kids on
him. Holy Spirit, come heal this hearing right now in Jesus' name. I pray for the highs and the lows to be normal, and I command all tinnitus to go in Jesus' name, and the brain to function, interpret sounds perfectly by the power and blood of Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh, complete restoration of his hearing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. More God. More of your healing. All right, want to test it out. Was it going like that before? More God, complete. All right, increase, okay. Increase.
Have the kids put their hands. Boys, put your hands on your desk here. Now you say in Jesus' name.
Good. I command this ear and all the hearing to be fully restored. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Right now, in Jesus' name, I command healing. Say, Dad, check it out. Okay, so as I'm ministering in the Word, see, God loves to use the body to bless the body, but he doesn't always do it the same all the time. He's always doing something creative and something new. So sometimes he heals during worship. Sometimes he heals with us laying hands on people. Sometimes he heals while the word's being preached. And you will not know that your healing is continuing unless you check it out. So I will not be offended if you stand up and walk around the room and check out your body, because I have seen God heal people all through the time of ministry, reading the word, studying the word, being taught. So just keep checking out your ear.
Okay, the other one I had, two front feet, problems with their feet, both feet, and it's in the, I don't know, what is that? The front part of your feet? Your ball or your foot. See, I'm glad I'm in healing ministry. I never know what they are. So it's that. So feet, if there's somebody there, I just want to raise your hand. Pant, okay. And then the other one is, this one was, I think this is what it is, but I'm willing to be wrong. Somebody was diagnosed with bipolar, diagnosed with it, and you're really upset about that particular diagnosis. Is that anybody in here? I could have missed that one. Okay, if it is somebody and you're embarrassed, that's fine. You could just come up to me later.
Okay. I'm going to call out three other things that I got, and then if that's you, I want everybody to stand, and we're all going to pray together, and we're not going to lay hands on them because the Holy Spirit's here to heal, okay? So I had a right hip pain, and it specifically comes up into your back. So if that is you, I also got digestive issues, stomach problems. Okay, awesome. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, if you can stand up. I got heart trouble. Oh, heart trouble, heart trouble, heart trouble. Yeah. Yeah, good. Stand up, stand up. Everybody stand up. All right, here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your healing power right now. God, I thank you that you are present with us to heal these bodies. So in Jesus' name, I command every heart valve, every bit of vascular disease in the heart to be restored and healed right now by the power and the blood of Jesus. I command all angina, all chest pain, go right now in the name of Jesus. I command everything that is irregular about heartbeats, arrhythmia, to go right now in the name of Jesus. I command everything that has been surgically altered in the heart to be restored right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. More Holy Spirit. I command all genetic predispositions, all generational curses of heart disease to be broken right now by the power and the blood and the authority of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. More God. Full restoration of hearts right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As if it never was. As if it never was. Thank you, Lord. More. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, God. More. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're the one with stomach stuff, put your hand on your stomach. Holy Spirit, thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I command every problem in the digestive area to be healed right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask that you send your angels to bring a brand new colon. There's somebody in here that needs a colon. Thank you, Lord. Small and large intestine. Transplant. Holy Spirit transplant right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I command all genetic predisposition to bowel trouble, to digestive trouble, to not the right amount of flora in the gut floor, that not the right amount of digestive enzymes. I command digestive enzymes to appear in the gut floor right now. Everything to be regular in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We just break off those genetic ties, those genetic predispositions to stomach ailments, and we break off every prognosis of doctors that said you have IBS. It's just the I don't know thing. That's what they call it. In Jesus' name, heal God, heal God. You heal God. Restoration of the gut floor right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. That we walk by faith and not by sight in Jesus' name. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see in Jesus' name. God, I thank you right now that all lower back pain and all hip pain, get out right now. All hip pain, all back pain, go right now in Jesus' name. I command there to be full alignment of the spinal column from the cervical spine down to the tailbone right now. Stiffness, soreness, and tight psoas muscles, I command you to release in the name of Jesus. More, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa, for the more, God. Lord, I bless these bodies right now. I bless these bodies in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, more on them right now. Total healing in Jesus' name. Total healing in Jesus' name. And every place where your hearts have been broken by the cruelty of people in this world, I speak healing and life. More, Holy Spirit. Every place where you have felt rejected, I speak acceptance in the beloved. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for more. Father, I ask for a dose of your love to come down that's tangible right now. Flood your people's hearts with your love, God. Flood us with love, God. Thank you, Papa. I want you to try out your body if you can try it out. Some things you can't check right now, but check out your body. And if you had something shift or change that you can feel, I want you to raise a hand. Look around and just give God glory for that. That's so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So as I am teaching, I want you to move around. Just, this is a free house. Move. Check it out. Faith has feet. Remember every story that Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. Go, your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. He has us activate our will in alignment with what he already did. So move around and check out your body. How many of you had stomach stuff? How many? Yeah, lots of you had stomach stuff. So I know you can't check that out. Usually, unless you had, you know, burning or something. So if you have change in the stomach, can you please let Pastor Mike or Pastor Tiffany know so that they can make sure you give a testimony? It's all about God's glory. All of it's about God's glory, okay? Amen. All right.
Cool.
Okay, so I asked the Lord what to preach about. And I was cracking up because it was going back and forth between two things, which never happens to me. I usually always know, always know, always know. And then we were driving up here, and I was like, God, can you make a decision? It's two things. And he says to me, what do you want to do? Do you know God's your friend? I always say that because I had to learn that because I grew up Catholic, and I had a hard time believing that God was my friend. But when I started to engage with God as my friend, also my Lord, also my King, also the Exalted One, which seems to be quite a paradox in my mind until I start engaging with Holy Spirit, and he makes me laugh. And he said, what do you want to do? I said, well, honestly, because I made Michelle sit in the front so I could sit in the back and talk to God. I said, honestly, I just want to laugh. because that's my personality. And my other teaching is very heady, and it's entrenching. And I didn't want to do that. But I will do whatever God says. So he said to me, well, why don't you do what makes you laugh then? I said, fine, now I know what I'm teaching on. That was so good. You know what? If you don't know and you don't have clarity, you probably didn't ask. He's always talking. I told the girls all weekend, he's always talking. But we're not always listening. It's like we're not tuned on the right channel. Like we're not in the right frequency. And once you learn his love language, do you know the scripture, I love, 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 love. All of his thoughts about you far outnumber the grains of sand upon the earth. Staggering, isn't it? And do you know that all those thoughts are good? That's even wilder. Do you know that you have 30,000 thoughts a day? Legit, you have 30,000 thoughts a day. How many of yours are good about yourself? I will leave that right there. Because if we align ourselves with God, we'll stop beating ourselves up. You're accepted in the Beloved. So the theme all weekend with the women was, who am I? Who am I? I'm royalty in God. I am royalty in Christ, because Christ is the firstborn heir. He is royalty, and he made me, made you clean. But he didn't just make you clean. He exalted you by his name and authority. So we're going to talk about how to be intimate with God in a fun little exercise called being a toddler. This is how God gets my attention. I asked him, I said, so, you know, I'm trying to teach intimacy, and I want to teach it in a way. I was actually headed to England, and I said, I want to teach it in a way that's new, because Anglican churches can be all over the place. They can be very, very serious and regimented and religious, and then they can be very Holy Spirit filled. And the church, one of the churches I minister in England often is getting there with their relationship with Holy Spirit. But it's an English culture is very reserved. So I typically say to them, get up, stop being so English. They love me. I'm so irreverent. So when I asked him, he sent me to Mark 10:15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. So he sends me off to do a little study. And the Greek word here is a little child. But as I study even further, and I'm praying on teaching this, I understand that it is a little child. All of my Christian life with this text, I thought it was a child of reasonable age, 8, 9. How many think that? Anybody else? 2 people. Okay, 3 people. A toddler at 3 is not what I pictured about coming to God. Because I said, that seems highly unreasonable. They don't have any logic. And God says to me, exactly. When I looked at the characteristics of a toddler, because this is how God teaches me. He teaches me practically and he teaches me simply. So I can go out and do the same. The characteristics of a toddler might fascinate you. So let's go back to what this whole purpose was. God, how do I come to you in more greater measure of intimacy? Not to work it up, just to be with you. How does this work? And he says, look these characteristics up. So keep this in mind as I read this to you. When you are looking to get closer to God. Characteristics of a toddler. Number one. They are into everything. Those of you who've had toddlers, they don't understand boundaries. How many people do you know who come to God as a toddler and you're like, oh my gosh, that just seems like that's out there. They're laughing in church. What's wrong with them? That used to be me. People that were highly demonstrative in worship, because I grew up, you know, you don't raise your hands in church. Now I'm the one. Whoa. Toddlers don't care about boundaries that other people set. They're kind of wild, aren't they? They imitate what they see. If we imitated what Christ did, we would be living differently. They copy people. And they're not intimidated about what other people think of them. They actually have no clue. Can you imagine in a corporate setting coming to God and not caring what anyone thought about you? How freeing is that? They get easily excited and fascinated. They have contagious enthusiasm. When is the last time you had contagious enthusiasm about Jesus? I get to have it everywhere because God healed me. And I'm free from pain. So everywhere I go and every day I wake up, I am almost nauseatingly happy. And I don't care. Because I lived in hell for almost 15 years. And now I am free. And I want to see everyone else get free. So I am easily excited and fascinated and happy. And my husband goes, oh gosh, there she goes again. He loves me. These toddlers are very active with discovery and exploration. Here's what toddlers do. They move and they dance and they're doing and they're learning. And we sit, oh God, I need more of you, God. Sometimes I'm in my house, oh God, I need you. And God goes, go outside. Why? Because I have something to show you. And I was in a place where I was just being rattled. I had a bunch of stuff going on with a church that I was part of a staff. And it was a cessationist church. And I was going through a difficult time. And I was trying to bury my bitterness, you know? I was just trying to, get that. I don't want to feel that way. I don't want to feel that way. And God, I was sitting there, oh God, help me. And he said, go outside. So I went outside and I started walking down the street. And he said, now look up. And I look up, and the sun is just coming up. And I see a hawk, because we have lots of hawks in California, sitting on a light post. He said, stop, now watch. And I watch, and this hawk is like this. It's just mellow. It's not sleeping, but its eyes are closed, and it's just hanging out. And the sun starts coming up. And the sunlight hits the hawk dead on, and then the hawk just kind of does this. Like the warmth just settled in. And I'm like, what are we watching here? This is like National Geographic. It's great. And then these black crows, these big old black crows, they scream. I could do that real good with my throat like this. And they come dive bombing this hawk, two of them. And I'm like, wow, God. He goes, watch. I'm just standing there. And those crows circle this hawk. I mean, that hawk could take them out in a second. But it never moves. And the sun just gets more intense and warms up the hawk. And the Lord said, do you see? This hawk is being attacked by these crows or whatever these giant black birds are, because they perceive this hawk is threatening them. Perception is everything. This hawk knows better. He knows he can take them out, so he doesn't have to move. What about you? Do you know that I can silence your enemies? I can take them out. I can take them away from you. You don't have to move. Stay in me. Stay in the sun. It's the most simplistic thing. I'm like a little kid standing there going, what? I could have sat in my house going, oh God, help me. Or go outside and learn from some crows and some hawks. That might seem weird to you, but God teaches us kids. So when you get a prompt from the Lord in your gut, go do it, because he's always got something to tell you and show you. But be childlike. Because if you go, oh, well, that stupid hawk's just sitting there, what's that? And just keep on walking by, I'd have missed that whole thing. And you know, that changed me. Changed my paradigm, changed my perspective. I can sit in the warmth of God's love and not judge, because God has it already. When I'm like that, I can pray for people. Toddlers have short attention spans. Anyone? Yeah, about 14 of you have gone out the window 15 times since I started talking. And you know what? It's okay. Get over yourself. Short attention spans, God knows you. They are loud and demanding. I want, I need, I have that, I want that, I want that. So we have this thing on our team. When we travel around and we see somebody with an extraordinary gift from God, we say, God, I want that. And me too. Michelle goes, me too, God. I will tell the story of Michelle. When we first went to VOA, 2013, August 16th is when I was healed. So we get there, and I'm still a little religious. I'll just tell you. I to go there was excruciatingly painful for me. I heard the voice of God tell me to go to this conference, and I said to God, I cannot go. I cannot fly. I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, go. You'll be blessed. So I called her, and she said, you're probably going to get healed. And I was like, that's not going to happen. I've had hundreds of people pray for me. No, I'm not going to get healed because I didn't believe I would. And we get there, and I was in so much pain, riding on the airplane, on my side, on my knees. It was just horrible. I took so many drugs. And we get there, and I was on my knees on the floor for most of the time. Well, one of the moments when they had an impartation service, they were very, very specific. Randy Clark said, ask God for what you want. Michael said that this morning. Ask God for what you want. Ask him. So Michelle was incredibly specific. I, however, was very religious. Whatever you want to give me, God, that's what I'll have. Michelle was like, God, I want some of that gold dust stuff, that glory stuff that everybody gets all over. I want that. So we're done with that part, and the power of God comes, and it's beautiful and lovely. And the next morning, we get back in the car, and I'm so uncomfortable. I'm like on my side in the car trying to, you know, just drive there. And Michelle goes into before she starts the car. Hey, just want you to see. I got some gold dust on my face. Here's what the religious friend says. Oh, shut up. That's makeup. You do not have gold dust on your face. She goes, yes, I do. It's right here. This is not makeup. And I'm all, whatever. And she reaches back between the seats and she goes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that everything you've given me in this gold dust thing you give to Joe right now, even though she doesn't believe it. For the rest of the week, I looked like a disco ball. I flew home on the airplane with my face like Moses. So much so that the man in the seat next to me said, what's wrong with your face? I said, funny about that. And then I prophesied over him for hours. Yeah, funny how God does. Toddlers laugh easily. Do you know they remain in the moment? They don't have a huge picture idea. How much time do I spend trying to figure out everything for God? Oh, God, I'm giving it to you. Okay, wait, let me figure out another way to do that. God, here. All night long, all day long. God wants you to be coming to him simplistic. That doesn't mean we walk around like brainless people. He gave you a brain to use. But when you engage with him, let him be the dad and you be the kid. Toddlers learn to use and express their feelings. They're learning how to do that with their parents. And they don't usually hold grudges. This is really good. Do you ever watch children on the playground that are 3 years old? Do you know they can fight like crazy and they could sock each other in the eye and 2 seconds later share a popsicle? Have you ever seen anything like that? If you had a lot of children or you had a couple children and they fought like crazy and the next minute they're sharing a cookie. Imagine if churches did that. I don't want you to sock each other in the eye, but you know, seriously, share a cookie. I mean, really, get over your stuff. They're giddy in their movement, and they're learning how to be independent. But do you know that they always come back to the parent? They also don't understand that their imaginations aren't anything but good. And so many people I meet throughout our ministry, think that their imaginations are not sanctified by God. They don't engage with their imaginations. They don't allow the Holy Spirit to move them. And that's one of God's most intimate ways of speaking with you. That's where visions come in from heaven. There's so much with your imagination that God wants to do. Toddlers are also stubborn and in love with the word no. I believe that God loves people who say yes. But do you know that he also loves people who have problems with no? Because we're just learning, aren't we? Obedience equals love. And that's the currency of heaven. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. However, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when I hear from God, go pray for that man right there in the wheelchair, and I say, no, I'm too tired. I just got home. I'm exhausted. And then I do what everyone does. I walk by, and I go about my business, and I go, oh, I'm so sorry, if the person is still there when I come out. Does anyone do that? Anyone? Just me? So I just did that at the dentist office. I said, if the person is still there. And then my son goes, oh, I know, Mom. This is before my son had a radical encounter with Jesus. He was like, not about it before. Now he's like, Mom, can I go with you? But before that, he was like, you're not going to pray for that person, are you, Mom? So I came out, and the man was still in the wheelchair, still sitting there. I'm talking 45 minutes later. And my son goes, you're not. I go, mm-hmm. He goes, oh, my gosh, I'm going to the car. I'm going to stand by the bumper. I go, just stand there and pray. He goes, oh, whatever. So I started to pray for this man. This is the grace of God, because I had blown God. I seriously said, no, God, I'm not going to do that. I just got off the road. I'm 15 days. I'm tired. But then I realized, wait a minute. This is this man's blessing from God, and I'm about to rob him, but I'm about to be robbed because I am the one who's greatly blessed when I have the privilege and the honor to pray for somebody else. So I said to this man, excuse me, you seem to be sitting here a long time. I'm a minister. Can I pray for you? And he looks up at me, and then God tells me, this man has diabetes, and they've just told him they're going to amputate his legs. I'm horrified. And God says, you don't need to say that. I go, okay. He said, just pray for him and I'll give you the words. And I mean, tears just start coming down my face. And my son is now like this, watching me across the parking lot. And this man bursts into tears. And I just prayed the simplest prayer over him. But it was just a prayer of blessing and a prayer of hope. And I did pray healing for his body. But I hugged him. And it turns out that he didn't have family, and he was waiting for public transit to come pick him up. You never know. And if you have childlike faith, you'll say more yeses than nos. But when you say no, you won't be guilty. Amen? All right. Toddlers always want to marry their parents. Yes. I was going to say that. So true. I was up in my bathroom getting ready to go minister somewhere, and I said, God, what else about toddlers? And he told me that. He said, toddlers always want to marry their parents. Little girls always say, when I grow up, I'm going to marry you, Daddy. And my son said that when he was 3, and then I told him that, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I go, hey, you know, when you were 3, you told me you were going to marry him. He goes, oh, my gosh, Mom, that's so gross. He's 17 and a half. I know. Toddlers, so go back to this again. You and God, you and Jesus, you and the Holy Spirit. Toddlers are connected to their parents for love, care, safety, training in all the aspects and areas of life. They're connected to their parents for guidance, to be raised up, to be encouraged, to be nourished, and to be disciplined. To be taught wisdom in mind, wisdom of how to steward the body, and wisdom of how to have their soul be healed and their spirit be raised up with Christ. And it's the same with us and Heavenly Father. Jesus said in John 15, he is the living vine and we are the branches. In John 15:4, Jesus tells us that we entered into life union with him and he with us. Does anybody read the Passion Translation of the Bible? Anybody? It is for your own edification, the sweetest, most beautiful translation. And if you struggle really understanding God's word, I highly encourage you. It's not all the way written yet. Dr. Brian Simmons is a linguist, and he's the one who is translating. He goes back to the Aramaic. Certainly, he does the Greek. But the richness of the study that's there for your heart, he has copious, copious notes, and it's really about the love affair between you and Jesus Christ. So this is John 15:5 in the Passion Translation. And in his words, it says, just as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. John 15:17, Jesus goes on, he says, if you step into life in union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask for whatever you desire and it will be done. If my words live powerfully within you, in the Aramaic is translated, if my words take hold, they are strong within you. So no matter how weak you feel, incapable, incompetent, if you've grabbed hold of this intimacy with Christ, his words are strong in you. His words are strong in you. And if you hide them in your heart, they come out at just the right time. You would be shocked. How many times a day does a toddler come back to its parent for reassurance? All day long. How many times a night does a toddler get out of bed and try to get in bed with you? Many times a night. They don't know they're separate, do they? They think they are one with you. I loved that analogy that God gave me. One with him means I have to think like that, like my son who never wanted to get out of our bed. The safety of being with a parent. In Mark 14:36, Jesus prays, I told the women this weekend, Jesus prays to God as Abba. The Jewish position for prayer is not this. It's this. Do you know what I think that looks like? A toddler. Pick me up. Pick me up, Daddy. Pick me up. My son used to do this. Hold you, Mommy. Hold you, Mommy. And I think about that. What's my posture of prayer? Is my posture this? Or is my posture more of you, God? I want up. Because we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, in the now and the not yet. So if we can be taken up, why wouldn't we ask for a perspective change? Sometimes all it takes is one little and your whole perspective changes, your entire countenance changes, and all of your stuff that you have against somebody just melts away. Try it. Try praying like that. It's absolutely freeing and amazing. Toddlers undergo separation anxiety, don't they? Don't you love those days? 2 years old. Let Aunt Susan hold you. Nope. That's when they start learning they're separate. And it's scary. If we stay toddlers, we don't have to feel separate. Because we aren't. We are in the Father. And the Father is in us. And we can live like that. From glory to glory. Strength to strength. And none of us feels like God will move mountains through us. But I can tell you he will, because I'm just like you. And I have seen him heal deaf people with no inner ear parts, put an eyeball in somebody's eye that had no eye formed in their socket. I have seen God give people miracles where he's created body parts right in front of me. And I used to think it in my head, yeah, God could do that, but when you see it, you go, did you know God is healing? He can do anything. And every time you see him do a miraculous thing, it changes your perception a little more. I have to remind myself that Jesus told us he would never leave us and never forsake us. So no matter what's going on in the world, and it's a fun climate right now, isn't it? I don't talk about politics. It is not a disaster who gets elected. God's on the throne, and God knows. He did actively engage our wills to vote, and that is important. But ultimately, it's God, isn't it? So if Jesus never leaves us and never forsakes us, we can just pray for everybody around us that's flipping out. Amen? And stay off Facebook. Amen. God is not waiting for you to clean up your mess. Gosh, did any of you think that most of your life? Oh, no, I'm just trying to get it together. Just trying to get it together, God. I can't get it together. I love this. He's delighted in you. He's delighted in me. We are his inheritance, his beloved children, according to Ephesians 1:18. And I used to say this to myself, man, God, I'm sorry, God. I'm so sorry. Because I used to pack around all my guilt of all the things I did wrong until I got healed. And now I know that living a life of repentance, as I shared with the ladies this weekend, is not beating myself up. Living a life of repentance, according to the Greek, the word metanoia means to change the way I think about myself, the way I think about God, and the way I think about the world. Because I am a limited human being, and my capacity to slam myself, slam other people, and even slam God sometimes is so pervasive unless I know who I am in him, forgiven, fully righteous, because Christ paid the price. And if I know, because I read the word, that Christ is interceding for me all day, every day, and so is the Holy Spirit, if I got 2/3 of the Trinity on my side, how can I lose? That's for somebody today. You are not who your parents say you are. You are not who people who you work with say you are. You are not who people you go to school with say you are. You are who God says you are. Unblemished, perfect, holy, righteous in Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. In John 20, maybe you've seen this before, but while I was doing this study, I happened on this because the Lord led me there. John's insistence in this story on recording himself as the other disciple who got there first, ahead of Peter. So let me set this up for you. They are going to the tomb, to Jesus' tomb. Now, at this point in time, John is about 50 to 60 years old, and Peter is a younger man. And they have to be racing there because they want to find out what happened. Instead of just writing the story, in John's gospel, he says to all of us who are reading this, the other disciple who got there first. He did it twice. He said it twice. It's funny that God just inspired him and just let him keep it in there. He's competitive. And he's being like a little kid. I got there first. I'm the older man, but hey, I won. And not only once, but twice, I won. Some people blow right past that. Read that account. And look at that, and you'll go, it's just like a little kid. Me, me, me. John was a crack-up. He called himself the beloved of Christ. And I said earlier this weekend, I doubt anybody else said, oh, John, you're the beloved of Christ. I think John said, I'm the favorite. The other ones were probably like, whatever. Well, that's how we should all be. Because God's word said we are no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. We are all his favorite. So we should all be like, I'm the beloved of Christ. Always. Not when you just do something right. In your worst sin, you are always the beloved of Christ. All right, I think that a toddler, at least mine at the time, I didn't have any other children, But he would always believe he was my whole world. Because he was. All our children are. Think about your children. Think about the children you know if you don't have children. There's something about that. You are God's whole plan. There's not a backup plan. You're it. So when you disqualify yourself by thinking you're unaccepted, you have just squelched God's plan A. A. Awesome. No other plan. You're elected, you're chosen, you're it to release the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. And you're not going to have it all right, and you're not going to get it all together. You just have to step out and do it. I travel with some of the greatest healing ministers in the world. I have no idea how I get invited. It's a God thing. And when I'm around them, I feel so free. Because do you know something? They're just like you and me. They have good days and bad days. They have days they feel so unholy, and they still step out, and they lift up their hands to pray. And guess what? God shows up. And one time, when I was in England, just this past July, I learned something. Does anybody know who Blaine Cook is? A couple of you. I travel with him frequently. Excuse me while I cough. And Blaine and I, cough. Oh, I would love a cough drop. Thank you. We're family. It's okay. Thank you so much. Okay. So God's always teaching, right? So we were ministering. And I watched Blaine call upon the Holy Spirit, and I was following the whole thing as he was going down, and I could see how Holy Spirit was moving across the room. Well, then we got to this other area over here, and the Holy Spirit wasn't on this area over here. I'm not saying he's not here right here. I'm just giving you an example. He's always here. And he said, the Holy Spirit is coming right down this aisle. And I wanted to jump in front of him and go, no, he's not. I can see in the spirit in that way. He isn't coming down this aisle. But I just backed up. I was just stunned. And as soon as he said, the Holy Spirit's coming down this aisle right now, boom. The power of God comes and knocks a whole section of people backwards and heals them. And now I'm like, ooh, that just flipped me out. So later, I said, Blaine, can you explain something to me? What, Joe? He's always so sarcastic, and I love that. That's why we travel together, because we have sarcasm, and I hope God never heals us, because we love it. I said, what happened? I asked him. And he goes, oh, Joe, God and I are friends. I'm like, he said, sometimes he leads and I follow him. And sometimes I lead and he follows me. And I was like, what? That is freaking me out. Now, why is that so hard for me to understand? Because God is a holy, divine, omnipotent, incredible, all-powerful God. And he will follow me? But Jesus said we are his friends. When is the last time you had a friendship where you did all the leading or the person did all the leading and it was a good, balanced friendship? Religious people do not like this kind of stuff. And I found out I was still a little religious. So I went to Chicago next without Blaine. I was by myself with a whole bunch of people, Heidi Baker and a bunch of people that are in healing ministry. We were all speaking. And I thought, Lord, okay, growth is spelled risk. R-A-S-K. You don't risk, you don't grow. So I said, if you'll come, I'll try it. So I did. I did the same thing he did. And the Holy Spirit came. And I did not, because the glory of God is so magnificent. I did not have to stay there till 2 a.m. and pray for all these different people, because God decided to heal a whole section of hundreds of people at one time. And I asked him to. Holy Spirit, come and heal. Many times, we don't have, because we don't ask. Amen. I have to cough again. I want to say this is the irony of healing ministry. I have a cold. All right. Let me do a couple of other points, and I'm really gonna I'm just gonna pray for you. Would that be okay? Okay. When you are a toddler with God, you're moving in a type of innocence. And a type of transparency that is so opposite of the world and so opposite of many church cultures. So there is no room for the religious spirit when it comes to intimacy with God. And here's how we know we still have a touch of that religious spirit, like I found out just in July. If we judge people by their appearance, 1 Samuel 16:7 says that God judges us by our heart. Amen? But man judges by outward appearance. If we are always critical of other people's walks with God, the more religious a person is, the more critical they are of somebody who doesn't do it like they do. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, if we're trying to earn God's love and salvation, it's a clear violation of the passages like Ephesians 2:8-9 that talk about being saved by grace and not by works. That's why you can be free to make mistakes. I tell all of my spiritual kids, get out there and risk and blow it. Make mistakes. Get over your need to be accepted by people. I make mistakes all the time. If I make a mistake in prophesying over people, I always say, did anyone die when I was wrong? Nobody died, just my pride. And that's good, right? I might have missed something. I said something one day in a church. I said, I was ministering to youth who are all leaders coming up. And I said something, and I released a word, Bob, and Bob has a dog named Roxy, and everybody in the room is looking at me. Now, inside, in the physical, I could have gone, ugh, they're all looking at me, and I'm totally wrong. Instead, I said, Holy Spirit, what is going on? And he said, it's someone's uncle. I said, what? He said, say that. I said, okay. I think Bob and the dog named Roxy is somebody's uncle. And this kid stands up. He goes, it's my uncle. I'm like, didn't that register with you before if I said Bob and the dog's name's Roxy? Instead of getting offended or rejecting myself, I just asked another question. Now, sometimes I'm flat out dead wrong. But in this case, then the Lord said, he collects Smith & Wesson guns. How bizarre. I said, your uncle collects Smith & Wesson guns. He does. I said, but he doesn't know Jesus. And then the Lord tells me something funny. He thinks his dog is really smart, but his dog is stupid as a rock. So I say that, because that's what I hear. I didn't add my own meaning, I just said it. I said, your uncle is in love with his dog, but it's stupid as a rock, and it's a coonhound. Sorry, if you own a coonhound, sorry. And he's standing there, this kid's like this. Yeah. And I go, you know what? And he doesn't know Jesus. He goes, no. I go, so you go to your uncle's house this week and you tell him God loves him enough to tell some crazy lady that he collects Smith & Wesson guns, that his dog's name's Roxy, and all this other stuff. And the kid is blown out. And do you know what happened to that kid? For the rest of the trainings and the rest of the days that I was there, he was the first one up front First one wanted to pray for people. First one wanted to check it out. First one wanted to prophesy. Because it was personal. And if you don't risk, if I would have taken offense at myself, and I'm telling you, I could do that like that. Oh gosh, Joe, you're bleh. I could have turned it all off. Instead, I turned it back and said, teach me, God. Teach me. And when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I'll say, oh, well, I guess I missed that one. Don't know. You never know. We are seeing in part, aren't we? Someday we will see clear as if in a mirror. Right now, it's a little bit dull, isn't it? The more time you spend in intimacy with God, the less dull it is. The clearer you'll hear, the clearer you'll see. And that's what Jesus did when he went away from the crowds to be with the Father. So he could hear what Father was saying and see what he was doing, and he did that, and that's what we're to do. But if we're too busy, we never really get it any clearer because we don't have time with Papa God, and he's always waiting for you. If we try to conform to outward holiness without inner transformation, that is a spirit of religion. Jesus strongly rebuked those who merely attempted to cleanse the outer man without allowing God to deal with the heart. That's Matthew 23. If your closest Christian friends are only based on ministry and you're not living life, and I know that's not true of this group because you're family, I can feel it in this room the moment I walked in here. When we're family together, we're growing together. And when we live life together, we have to be real, don't we? And then we really learn to love each other in all our faults and all our sin, and we learn to love ourselves. So vastly important. When we desire position and honor within our churches and our ministry, I see this where I'm from because I'm from the land of mega churches. People want position, they want authority in the church more than they want to be with Jesus. We have to have our identity framed as sons and daughters every single day. And that's how we operate. If you want me to clean toilets today, God, I'll do that. I'll serve for you, but I will not serve to be loved. I'm loved, so I serve. Amen? Okay. If we try to protect our righteousness, but inwardly we carry resentment and bitterness, that's a religious thing. God says, bring all of your stuff to me. All of it. Share with me. You have resentment right now? Why? What's going on with you? You have bitterness? Why? What's going on with you? As transparent as a child, you know what kind of mood your child's in. You don't have to guess. It's all over their face. Just come to God like that. God, that wasn't fair. What just happened to me? I had to learn to do that. And when I finally started doing that, I realized I hardly ever do that anymore. I hardly ever care it wasn't fair. I'm too busy having fun with Jesus. I just dance around. And I don't care at all. Because people can fight their own stuff. I'm having fun. And I'm releasing the kingdom by having fun. Some of you need to have a little more fun. Amen? All right. Let me finish with this story. God bless you, sweetie. All right. So I told you about one of the things with toddlers is this short attention span thing. Well, I never considered myself to be like that. But I realize that I kind of am because I'm always looking around at the next thing that God's doing. And as I was praying through this message, I happened to be in a moment of time some months back, maybe in January, where I was sitting there in my house and I was writing this message. And I said, Father, why, if I'm supposed to come to you as a toddler, why did you pick me to do this at this stage of my life? I mean, after all, God, I am in my 50s, and we could have had a great time if I was in my 30s, and I could have done this for like 40 years. And I was just thinking, God, here I go with my big picture thinking. God, maybe we have 15 years of doing this. Maybe 20. So I'm already lamenting we only have 20 years to do this healing ministry. And the Lord, I feel like the Lord is just laughing with this sweet smile on his face. And then I kind of went off in another one of my vision things, and I said, okay, well, whatever. You're not really talking to me about that. And then I said, Lord, what's my word of the day? Because I ask the Holy Spirit almost every single day of my life what my word of the day is. And I told the ladies, the reason I do that is because I am so easily distracted by what God's doing. I want to know where he's moving. So he gives me words. So when I asked him what my word of the day was, it was quite early in the morning, he said, albatross. Okay, I just finished lamenting about how old I was. God, I don't know why you do what you do. I mean, this is truly kind of nuts that he would pick me to do this at this time. My word of the day is albatross. So I say to the Holy Spirit, okay, I don't get it. He said, look it up. I go to my computer and I pull up albatross. Want to know the first thing that pops up? Here are some albatross facts. Now, some of you think I am totally whacked. I want you to know, God happens to teach me through nature. I don't know why. He just does. He also gives me food about people when I'm praying for them all the time. He gives me favorite foods of people. I can smell them. I can see them. And then I say, does this food mean anything? Oh my gosh, it was my favorite food of all time. I don't know. Albatrosses have the largest wingspan of any extant bird. They can soar farther than any other bird. They're highly efficient in the air. Okay, backtrack a little bit. God, I'm already in my 50s. I mean, really, how long can my energy hold out? Highly efficient. They use dynamic soaring. They lay only one egg per year, and the breeding season takes a whole year. So this is where I stumble on what I believe God's whole point and intention for giving me this word was. The oldest wild bird in the world is an albatross. Guess what her name is? I wish it was. That would have been so good. Her name is Wisdom. You can't make this stuff up. Just kidding. She is 60 years old, and she has laid 36 eggs. That's a lot. She even laid one last year at 60 years of age. She is so resilient and so healthy that her contribution of chicks to the midway population of albatrosses has brought them back from extinction. Yay, God. Isn't that great? The Lord will use you no matter what age you are, no matter what season of life you're in, if you just say yes. If you just say yes. Christ lives fully in us, and we live fully in him, so that we will experience the same unity that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have. Unity is important to God's heart. Unity in you with him, unity in your family, unity in this family, unity in this region, unity in the body of Christ. You cannot have revival personally or corporately without unity. And you cannot have any of that without prayer. Prayer is the beginning of the stirring of revival. Everybody wants revival. I personally believe we are in revival. We just not have all come into in being in unity. And in our region, we have a pastor who's been working 35 years at it. And we have a unity of churches like I've never seen. We're not there yet, but 650 pastors of every denomination, every cross-cultural barrier has been broken, every socioeconomic barrier torn down because of one man said, I'm going to unify these pastors. Pray for unity everywhere you go, especially your own unity with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Will you stand up? Father, Father, I thank you for your spirit. Jesus, I thank you that you're here. And I thank you that this morning I saw you, Jesus, walking among the people. Walking among the people, God. And I saw you kiss people's heads. Jesus, I saw you kiss their cheeks. And I saw you reach your arms out to people who feel separate and marginalized. And Father, I know your heart is to love and that we would receive it in extravagant measure. So I ask that you would come and pour out your spirit in this place right now in a fresh